Well, good morning and welcome to our Saturday team call. This is Senior Master Coordinator Jennifer Glacken, and I'm going to be your moderator and host for today's call. I have a couple of little tidbits I want to share, a couple things about the global conference coming up, and then I want to share a couple of things that have been questions this past week, actually quite a few questions. I just want to answer those questions in a group setting and on a recording so you guys can use that in the future if you need to. So the Global Conference in Atlanta in just a couple of weeks. I hope everybody's just as excited as I am with all of the new product launches that are coming and the compensation tweaks and all of the exciting stuff that Shackley has planned for us. I'm very, very excited, and hopefully you guys are as well. I wanted to let everybody know that we are going to have a team gathering. We will get together on Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. We've got a conference room right outside of the conference center, so it's going to be right as soon as the general sessions end. We'll pull together as a team. We'll have some light appetizers and snacks and have a chance just to sort of decompress from the day, have a little bit of motivation, inspiration, and share some stories and have some community at the same time. So mark that on your calendar. I don't have the room number. I think it's C114, but that has not been confirmed yet. Once it's confirmed, we'll let everybody know. So you can get that out to your teams, everybody that is a part of our organization. That means if you are in any way, shape, or form connected with myself, the Underwoods, the Cashes, anybody else in our organization, you are invited and your guests are invited. So please, please, please be sure to be there. We want to make sure that we have a good representation for everybody and have an opportunity to pull together and really share. So that was one thing I wanted to make sure that we talked about here this morning. And then this past week, I guess everybody's working out right now. I'm not quite sure if they're working out so that they can get ready for Global Conference or if everybody's working out just because they have decided to get on a workout program. But I get a lot of phone calls this week, and actually 10 to be exact, with people asking me, what do you do before you work out? And I thought with having a recording opportunity here, and I knew I was going to be the speaker this week, I thought I could at least answer that question for a group of you. And so if anybody here has people on their team that want to know just sort of some of the tweaks to do before you work out, I know we've got some fun sports nutrition products that are coming down the pike, and so things may change a little bit, but I personally always do some protein and some hydration before I go into any workout session. And so whether I'm doing Bikram yoga, whether I'm doing Pure Bar, whether I'm working out with my personal trainer, I always do the instant soy protein, and you could use the plain and simple as well, whichever one of those you prefer. I've just always done the instant soy protein, and so that's what I'm used to, and that's what I do. I do one tablespoon, so I do a third of a serving. I do one tablespoon, and I do one tablespoon of the hydration. And the reason I only do one tablespoon of each is because you don't need a full serving. We are not Olympians. We are not going out there. We're not going to be doing a workout that warrants having a full serving. And so I do one tablespoon of each. I mix that up. I drink that down, and then I always have an energy chew before I start my workout. And so all of you probably are aware, if you just read the product guide, you can see which products are considered pre and post. And so after the workout, I do the physique. And those are just fabulous products. Now, yes, we've got some new products coming down the pike, and Shackley's really trying to separate out the endurance athlete and the Olympian, sort of that hardcore, really, the person whose body has to be in peak performance mode versus the casual workout person, the weekend warrior, the person who's maybe doing a couple of, workout classes a week trying to stay fit. And so the products that are coming down the pike will reflect that. Now, as far as the skincare, I just have one little quick comment about the skincare. For those of you, a lot of folks are asking, well, gosh, what do we do? Should we have our customers buying the Envy Cells since Shackley's got the buy one, get one? I will guarantee you, once you have an opportunity to feel and touch and experience the new skincare line, you will want to be using the new skincare line, and all of your customers will as well. So this is not, I'm not saying if you have some favorites in the Envy Cell line that you shouldn't stock up on some of those, but at the same token, you are going to want the new products. And so don't end up with so much of a stockpile that you're then not trying the new product right away, because trust me, you will want the new product. It truly changes your skin. It is absolutely fantastic. And so just keep that in the back of your head. So the call this week, the topic this week is leadership. When you think about your Shackley business, you are a leader in a number of different ways. You are leading your customers to better health. You're leading your business partners to better wealth. And sometimes we sort of step back and we're not really sure how to lead. We're not really sure on a daily basis what we need to be doing in terms of leadership. And I think it's just important to have a little bit of a conversation around it so that you can be thinking about it, because every action, every step that we take on a daily basis with either it's our customers or our business partners, we're being watched. And so they are either modeling good behavior or they're modeling poor behavior, and I think it's important just to think that through. Something else I would encourage you to do is to sort of think through all of the leaders that are in your circle. Whether it's, maybe you have a good relationship with somebody at the Chamber of Commerce, or maybe you've got maybe you're part of a networking organization, there's a leadership team. you probably see things that you absolutely love that some of the leaders do, and you probably see some things that you go, oh, my gosh, I don't think I'd ever do that if I was a leader. And that's okay. Having a pro and con list or having a list of things that you would do and things that you wouldn't do is really important. And I would take some time to write that up. Maybe you're even thinking just from a Shackley perspective and thinking through some of the leadership examples that you have in Shackley, and you say, oh, my gosh, I absolutely love this about Gary Burke. And, oh, my gosh, if I could do this like Jim Burke, that would be fabulous. Or if I could do this like Roland Osterhaus. And so you look at some of the presidential masters, senior masters, master coordinators, and you pick and choose some of the different qualities, and you sculpt yourself into the leader you want to be. But it's an active process. It's not something that just happens by osmosis. We don't just become leaders. We develop ourselves into leaders. And so it's important to know that so that you are actually actively working on the skill set that you want to develop in yourself from a leadership perspective. If you are not leading people, you are in a direct sales business. Now, Shackley has a fabulous opportunity because we can do direct sales. We can go out and sell the Shackley products and earn an income, or we can build a network marketing organization. And when you build a network marketing organization, you build a team. You build an organization of people. You build depth within that organization, which means leaders who have leaders who have leaders. And there's very distinct opportunities on both sides. If you're in direct sales, you are capped at how much you really can earn. But in the network marketing side, that's really where the residual income comes in. That's where the big money comes in. And I believe that in our organization, that's something that we talk about a lot. When you've heard Tony and Debbie speak, when you've heard Becky and Chris Cash speak, we're all talking about leadership. We're talking about building an organization, building a team, building depth. And that's the network marketing opportunity. So you all know that I'm a reader. I absolutely love to read. And so John Maxwell has a book called the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, the 15 Laws of Growth. I just finished reading the 15 Laws of Growth recently, and so I'm also remembering that one quite a bit. But I had picked out the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership the other day because I'm in an organization where there's just some things that are happening from a leadership perspective that I've been sort of just questioning. I sit on a board, and I sort of thought, gosh, you know, I need to spend some time in prayer and spend some time just sort of looking at leadership because there's some qualities in the new president that I'm uncomfortable with. And so I thought maybe it's me. Maybe I need to take a step back and look at it. And so I picked up this book again, and I'm just going to walk through some of them. I may get an opportunity to go through all 21. If I don't, then the next time I speak, I'll finish them off. But the first law is the law of the lid. And Maxwell defines the law of the lid by saying that leadership ability is the lid that determines a person's level of effectiveness. The lower an individual's ability to lead, the lower the lid on his or her potential. So you think about that. If you can't lead well, that limits your ability to grow in this business. Now, do things happen sometimes by accident? Absolutely. Some of us sponsor those dynamos that don't need any leadership. They don't need any guidance. But most people need a little bit of guidance. They need a little bit of leadership. And when I think about this this law right here, I think about a couple of things that have happened in my business over the years. You know, I've had some people on my team who have not grasped the concept of leadership, and I can remember one example where there was a woman who was running for a trip. She absolutely wanted to earn a trip, and she talked about that trip so much that whenever she was on the phone with her downline, she was always telling her downline that she needed to earn the trip and they needed to get to work so that she could earn the trip. And I'm sure most of you are sitting here cringing and thinking, ooh, that doesn't sound right off the bat. And it wasn't that she was a bad leader, so to speak. She just couldn't control that emotion around the trip, and she wanted to earn the trip. And so a better form of leadership would be to work with people on their goals and to really focus on what it is that they want. Yes, we're going to get what we want along the way. Doesn't always happen right off the bat, but we have to have a plan in place that doesn't rely on one person or two people. We need to develop a plan that we control, in essence, that we are able to work, that we're able to make our dreams a reality, so that when we're working with our team, we're helping them make their dreams a reality. In BNI, which is Business Networkers International, which is an organization that I'm a part of, there's a philosophy in there called giver's gain. The more you give, the more you gain. It's that whole concept of servant leadership. And I think if we can all embrace that, and the more that we can give to other people, the more we will get. So then it's not about us. It's not about the trip that we're going to earn, the car payment that we're going to earn, the fast track bonus that we're going to earn. It's about the other person. And when you come to the table with that giver's gain mentality, you always win. So let's go on to the second law. The second law is the law of influence, and John Maxwell defines the law of influence as the true measure of leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So when you think about it, how much are you influencing other people? Are we influencing people in a positive way? Do we emulate a healthy lifestyle? Do we emulate actually, when you think about lifestyle and you think about having time freedom and income freedom, are we running around frantic all the time? And, oh, my gosh, I've got so much to do. I'm working so hard. I've got to work on my Shackley business. I've got to get all this stuff done. If we portray this image of always being frantic, most people would probably walk away from that because the influencer, they'd see that as we've influenced them in a negative way, in a sense, that we're so stressed out and working so hard. Why in the world would they want to be a part of something like that? And so we have to think about how we're influencing other people in a lot of different ways. Are we influencing people positively and really uplifting and encouraging and inspiring? Or are we a little bit of the negative Nellies? And I think everybody here knows somebody who's negative. The other day I went out to grab a drink with a friend, and it's a new friend. I really don't know her very well. And she started talking, and it was so incredibly negative that by the end of the evening, which I was only with her for an hour and 10 minutes, and notice how I know exactly how long I was with her, I thought to myself, I don't think I could ever hang out with this person again. She was so negative in everything. No matter what topic we tried to switch things to, it was she had a negative experience with it, or she didn't like this person, or she had, you know, something bad to say, and it was just very draining and very negative. And so when I walked away, I almost had to wash away my thinking. I had to come home and get my head on straight, which sounds kind of crazy. You know, you spend an hour and 10 minutes with somebody and you think, well, gosh, you should be able to brush that off really quickly. But when we're inundated with negativity, it really does influence us. So when you think of the law of influence, think about how you're influencing others. What type of an image do you portray, and who are you as a leader? Law number three is the law of process. So leadership develops daily. It doesn't develop in a day. It's a process. And that's what I was, you know, starting this whole conversation with when I first said that you have to be proactive about it. We've got to be thinking about what we want to do, what we want to be in terms of a leader. If you don't think about it, then, it, like I said, it doesn't just happen by osmosis. You're not just all of a sudden going to become this fabulous leader. You have to pick out skill sets, and you have to develop and hone in on skill sets within ourselves. And so it's a process. And keep working on it. And we're going to make mistakes. I could give you the laundry list of all the mistakes that I've made over the years as a leader. And I'll just share one of them with you. When I was first growing my business, I thought I had to do everything. And so I wanted to sort of control everything, and I wanted to do everything. And so I felt like when I would have a business partner who would come on board, I didn't turn the reins over to them and let them run with their business. I didn't let them grow as a leader. Now, obviously, over the years, you learn that that's not the way you're going to develop leaders. You know, you have to let people make mistakes. You have to let people grow on their own. You've got to let people stumble and trip and all the other things that we have to do to grow. Yes, you're there to support them. Yes, you're there initially when you're helping them. You know, you go and you do those first few meetings. If you've ever been to one of your first events with me, you notice I get you up talking right away. Now, I don't have you do a whole presentation because I know you're nervous and all that type of stuff, and it's your first presentation. You're trying to, you know, absorb and learn and listen. But it's really important that you get your new people up soon, that you get them up and you allow them to make some of the mistakes and you allow them to grow. And you're there as a safety net to help them, and you're there to support them and encourage them and to give them constructive feedback. But we have to really walk through that process as a leader ourselves. We've got to learn how to lead, and that's one of the ways to do it, is to turn over that leadership to our new people and to develop and help them grow as leaders. And hopefully that makes sense. I didn't confuse everybody there. Law number four is the law of navigation. Now, this law follows closely after the law of process. Once you've determined the process to get where you're going personally, the next step is to be able to navigate your business or organization through challenges and obstacles to reach the success. Are there challenges and obstacles in network marketing? And I'm sure everybody's sitting there going, well, heck yes, there's lots of them, right? I mean, the first time somebody on your team gets told that this business is a pyramid scheme, or the first time, you know, you've got somebody who's gung-ho and they're ready to light the world on fire, and they come back to, and they tell you, they say, well, no one's interested in the business. And, of course, they talked to two or three people, or they didn't get any coaching and counseling on how to talk to people, and they went home and said to everybody, hey, I'm starting a network marketing business, and people said, we're not interested. But, you know, you get all, there's ups and downs. So we have to navigate the challenges and obstacles. Are there times when somebody quits? Yes. Are there times when people join? Absolutely. So, you know, there's the ups and the downs. There's the highs and the lows. And we as leaders have to navigate that with our team. We have to help people through that change. We have to help people through that process. That's absolutely one of the reasons why we have a team meeting at the Global Conference. We get inundated with lots and lots of great information, and then we have to sort of step back and say, okay, all these great products are just another tool in our wheelhouse to go out and build an organization and build a team. We're not going to all of a sudden shift our whole focus and say, okay, well, all I'm doing now is skincare. We could, but that would take us off course, and we're all trying to build organizations and build teams, and it's all about the leadership and how we take this information back to our teams. Yes, we're going to educate everybody on the products, but we're going to show them how to use that to build their organization. Law number five is the law of addition. The law of addition simply says leaders add value by serving others. So when you think about what you're adding to people, how are you adding value? One of the things that I try to do every day is to bring a positive light wherever I go. So whether I'm in the yoga studio, whether I'm working out, whether I'm doing a one-on-one in the coffee shop, no matter where it is that I am, I'm always trying to be a positive and motivating force. And so how are you adding value to other people? When you think about that, you might not have thought of that before, but I want you to think about that, because on a daily basis, you can be that person who has a smile. You can be the person that says hi to people. You can be the person that people go, wow, I'd like to get to know that person better. They always seem upbeat. They always seem encouraging. Now, do we all have bad days? Sure we do, but do we have to wear it on our face and our body language? No, we don't. We choose to do that. And when we go out and we've got it all over our body language and everybody we grumble to, we are passing on a negative seed. Why not take the same energy that it takes to pass on that negative seed and pass on something positive? Be that positive light out there for people. Law number six is the law of solid ground. And Maxwell defines the law of solid ground by saying, trust is the foundation of leadership. Now, this is probably one of the greatest challenges I think most leaders face here in the 21st century, especially those of us who are leading maybe a life of faith and, you know, trying to walk a path. Too many people are disillusioned with leaders because I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm leading from this perspective or I'm leading from that perspective, and then people see people being contradictory or doing things that are not quite what they would expect. And so I think it's important just to remember that leadership is built on trust, and there's a foundation of trust. Trust can be destroyed in 1 second, and it takes a lot of years to rebuild that, and it takes a lot of years to build in the first place. And just remembering that is important, because every interaction you have with your team, whether it's your customers or your business partners, you have to remember that. So when you tell somebody that you're going to follow up with them, or you tell somebody that you're going to help them, you tell somebody that you're going to be there for them, you need to do what you say you're going to do. You need to be a person of your word. You need to stand true there, because that's a piece of that trust that's building, especially when you've got a new business partner. Now, I just want to read one other thing that John Maxwell says about this. He says that we build trust by consistently exemplifying competence, connection, and character, and we must treat trust as our most precious asset. And so, you know, how does a leader really earn respect? Well, they earn respect by doing what they say they're going to do, by making sound decisions, by admitting your mistakes. When you do something wrong, admit it. You know, if you goof, maybe a customer calls you and they ask you for a product, and maybe they wanted you to place the order for them, and you forget for a couple of days, call them up and just tell them, because they're sitting there waiting for their product to arrive. I have people here in the Ohio area, because the distribution center is here in Ohio. They can get their products in a day. And so if somebody tells me today they want a product and I order it today, it could be there tomorrow and possibly just the next day. It comes very quickly. And so if I wait 2, 3, 4 days to order it, it's just 2, 3, 4 more days before they get started on their product. So you have to realize that that's important, to get product in their hand as fast as possible, so they can start to have the experiences, the positive experiences, so we can take them down the path, hopefully bringing them into the business at some point when they fall in love with these products and want to share them with everybody else if they just came in as a customer. But it's just important to make sure that if you make a mistake, that you admit it. And we always, always, always have to put what's best for our team and our people before our personal agendas. And that goes back to that conversation I was having earlier with you when I was talking about the lady on the team who had wanted to earn the trip. It wasn't bad that she wanted to earn the trip. We all want to earn the trips. We all want to earn the car payments and the fast track bonuses and all those great things that Shaklee offers. The key is that you don't tell your team, hey, you're doing this for me. Hey, you've got to get to director so I can earn a trip. That is not leadership. That actually right there is very poor leadership, in a sense, because you're taking your own agenda and you're putting that before the other person's well-being. The person you're talking to may not be ready to get to director. Maybe that's not the right time in their life. Maybe they're a customer and have no intention of building a business. But it's just important to remember that we need our own goals, and yes, we have to have our goals and our dreams, and we have to decide, okay, I'm going to run for this trip, but we don't put the pressure on one or two or three or four people in our organization to, quote, unquote, make us earn the trip or help us earn the trip. Yes, that does happen when those people reach their goals. We automatically will reach our goals, but it's important not to put our agenda before theirs. Law number seven is the law of respect. And so similar to the high necessity for trust, we also need to have respect. The law of respect reminds us that people naturally follow leaders who are stronger than themselves. And I think that we all get nervous about that at times when we hear something like that. And we think, oh, well, gosh, maybe I'm not strong enough. Maybe I don't have enough leadership skills. But just remember, in Shackley, you know more than anybody that you're going to go out there and talk to about Shackley. Even if you just started a week ago, a day ago, you know more than the person that you're talking to. They haven't learned about the products. They probably haven't had that experience that you've had with the products. They haven't gone to that meeting that you've been to where you learned more information. And strength in leadership is just about some of the things that we've already talked about. It's having that character to do what you say you're going to do, to admit when you don't know something. So somebody says to you, you know, maybe you're talking to a new prospect or you're sitting down sharing the opportunity with somebody, and they ask you a question and you don't know the answer. You don't make up the answer or pretend that you know the answer. You say, you know what, I'm sorry, I don't know that answer. Let me jot this down and I'll get it back to you. I'll be sure to get back to you, and you tell them when you're going to get back to them, and then you do it because, once again, you're building trust at that point in that relationship. And so I'm going to actually stop there on Law 7. There's 21 irrefutable laws, and so I can break that into three different calls. I won't do the next three calls on them. I promise you that, but I'll get the other three, the other 14 here over the next couple of calls. So let me just read them again to you. Law number one is the law of the lid. Law number two, the law of influence. Law number three, the law of process. Law number four, the law of navigation. Law number five, the law of addition. Law number six, the law of solid ground. And law number seven, the law of respect. So as I wrap up this call today, I want to just remind you of a couple of things that are related to leadership in terms of Shackley. If you want to build a large organization, you have to work on your leadership skills. If you want to build anything of significance, if you want that residual income, if you want to be that master coordinator or a key coordinator, you're earning those six-figure incomes, it's about building a team. It's about building people up and helping them build people. And so in order to do that, we've got to figure it out. And so your first few directors, I hate to say it, are kind of like guinea pigs. It's kind of like that first child that you have. When I had David, my son, I never wanted to put him down. I was, you know, I wanted to hold him 24/7. I was afraid if anybody else touched him, they might break him or something. And I learned. And with my daughter, I had her in a sling on my back. So, you know, you grow and you learn. So with each child I grew, I only had two. But with each one, I did grow. And with each leader that you develop, you grow. You learn skills around that leadership and how to help that person grow. But we have to jump in the pool, so to speak. We've got to start swimming. So we've got to start talking about the business. We've got to ask people if they're interested in joining us and partnering with us. We've got to sit down and show the plan. If you're only talking about product, you're in a just direct sales business. And if you're only talking about product, it's going to be challenging to bring in business partners. Because there are people out there who truly are looking for residual income. They're truly looking for a way to change their financial future. And the way we do that is help them by building a Shackley business. And so if they see us as, you know, out there just selling products, that may not be as interesting to them as building people. And I have to tell you, from my own personal perspective, I absolutely love the Shackley products. I use every single Shackley product on a regular basis, every single day here. I've got my Shackley water, my Shackley energy tea. I had my performance this morning, my vitalized immunity. I've taken my life strip already, had protein. So I use all of the products, love all the products. However, I believe that the business opportunity is our very best product, and that's what I go out and market. That's what I go out and talk about. When somebody can't afford our products, the first thing I'm talking to them about is the opportunity, because that's a great way to either get their products paid for or to earn extra income so they have the money to do what they want to. When I've got people who are struggling financially, they're complaining about their car breaking down, they're complaining about their house payments, sending kids to college, I'm talking about the business opportunity. And so we have to remember, this is a business about sharing an opportunity and products, leading people down the path of how to build that business, guiding them, encouraging them, supporting them. And all the while, we're working on that personal development piece of helping ourselves become better leaders. So I hope everybody has an absolutely fabulous Shackley day and a fabulous Shackley weekend. I can't wait to see all of you in Atlanta, so it's coming up really soon. But we'll be here same time, same place next Saturday. Have a blessed weekend, everybody. Goodbye.